Thank you, Carol. That gets me up every Lord's Day. I just love being able to know and anticipate what this woman is going to prepare for us. You know, hush. Silence are golden moments, you know that? It says, be still and know that I am God. Words, how powerful are they? Got to turn me on. Thank you, Chris, I think. Well, happy Sunday after Christmas, and now Happy New Year. It's coming, right? You know that little thing, that's the most powerful thing you got in your body. That little tongue can set a spark that can destroy a fire. It can destroy people's lives. Powerful, isn't it? James warns us of it. Yet, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And the aspects, of course, is we need to be sure we're guarding our heart, right? And what we allow to be stored up there and then later be exposed by the words that come out of our mouth. But words are important. There were 14 words in God's word we're going to see this morning that changed the world. Changed the world. You know, way back in the very beginning, there were four words that changed all of the darkness of the cosmos into a radiant light when God said, let there be light. Dispelled the darkness. And then, of course, there were five words that were said that did indeed take that sinless paradise and turn it into an unbelievable spiritual warfare that has been going on ever since. The aspect of spiritual darkness battling against spiritual light when simply these words, you will not die. What a lie, huh? Changed the world, though, didn't it? No aspect of it when you think about the power that sin has in the world today. And yet nine words can change a relationship, and February is going to be engagement month, relationship month. We're going to be talking about how to build relationships, how to break down walls and barriers and things of that nature, how to get to know people and be able to witness to them, things of that nature. That's all a part of what we all need to do, you know. But these nine words are important. Maybe you want to write them down. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. That can save a lot of relationships right there, just those nine words. Isn't that true? You think about it? 14 words, 14 words. They're all there in your scripture for the morning. Though all the aspect, those 14 words came to turn a hopeless world into a world of hope. There was no hope in this world until Jesus was born. He was and is the hope of the world. And so in Luke chapter 2 and verse 10, you have those 14 words. We're going to evaluate them. We'll put them up on the screen in a minute. But it begins by just simply saying, fear not. Then, good tidings, good news, great joy. All people, unto you, this day, a Savior is born. 14 words that can change your life and change the world. If everybody would indeed embrace those 14 words and see the power that behind them. And so I'm just going to take some moments with you today, if I may, consider those 14 words. The 14 words begin, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. You know, the aspect of what really creates fear is sin. The aspect of knowing and having and not knowing that we are in a total, complete relationship with the one who created us, the God of light. The darkness permeates the world in which we live in today, and that you're either walking in darkness, you're walking in the light. But as God's people, his children, we're to be walking in the light as he is in the light. You can't find no fear in light. Darkness is what caused fear. How many of you are afraid of the dark or still are? I remember as a little boy, I used to get out of bed and go and lay at mom's bedroom door, right on the floor, right by her door, because I found safety there. I hated darkness. I didn't like being in the dark. I was afraid of it. Have you ever seen images? I believe one time when I was a little boy, I remember my dad and the aspect of his lifestyle, and I just knew that he was filled with the devil. I just knew that as a little boy, you know. I'm sleeping on the couch. Everybody else had their own bed. I'm on the couch, and I wake up in the middle of the night. I swear to God, I saw a red object with a red sword and a tail running through the living room. I thought I saw him. I was afraid of the dark. I was afraid of the dark. But you know what? My Lord came to destroy that fear. He came to take that fear and turn it away and round, and because he came into the world to destroy sin. That's what he came to do, to destroy whatever it is that's causing us, indeed, not to have a relationship with light. And isn't it interesting? The Bible introduces, John introduces, in the beginning was the Word, the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was light. And that light came into the world, and it dispelled all the darkness. Dispelled all the darkness. And I know this verse, and you know the verse. It's found in 1 John 4:18. It says, there is no fear in perfect love. No fear, but perfect love. It casts out all fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. So you really got to know in the depth of your heart that God really, truly loves you. You got to know that. And I don't know how else he can demonstrate it in what he did for you and me and allow his son to be crushed and beaten and go through. I mean, isn't that a demonstration of true love he had for you? As Dave wrote this morning, while we were still unreconciled, while we were his enemy, God commended the love. Now what if he, and how much does he love you now that you're one of his children? Now, just think about it a moment. How much does he love you now? Fear not, my daughter tells me, fear not appears in the Bible 365 times. That's one a day. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Fear is what separates us from God. It can become a wedge because it's in direct opposition to faith that turns on the light. It really is. Because there's faith, then there's hope. Then there's love. You have to have the groundwork of the faith in order to develop the hope, and those two then will produce the quality of love that God really wants us to experience in our individual lives. The third and the fourth words, as you remember them, okay, is that said, suddenly there was there in the glory, that don't be frightened, but the angel, do not be afraid, for I bring you good news. Isn't that what the Bible is? In the Bible, a message of good news? The word gospel means good news, right? Our responsibility is to preach the gospel. The church's responsibility is to preach good tidings, good news. Why? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. God desires the world to be saved. How is it going to be saved? By having people add an ability to hear the good news. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. For I did not come into the world to condemn the world. I came into the world so that the world through me might be saved. The gospel is the good news. Jesus is the only one that should be on the front lines of every paper every morning saying good news. Good news, because that's the only message of good news this world will ever hear. I'm firmly convinced of that. There is no question that the good news is that Jesus died for you and me. Christ came to shed his blood so your sins could be washed away. God promised that in through that element of cleansing, he'd sanctify you and set you apart. But you got to be involved. You got to want to be sanctified, set apart to be holy as he is holy. And the aspect of that is on. Why? Why? Because the Bible says they who have this hope will keep themselves pure. What hope? Well, the only one promise that everything else is connected to, as far as I can understand, is immortality. immortality dwelt only in Jesus Christ, who is the light. He turned the light on what? Eternal life. And he promises us eternal life, that we can live forever. Whether I die, whether I live, I belong to the Lord. For me to die is gain, doesn't matter, because no matter what, I am the Lord's, and I'm going to be with him no matter whether I'm alive or dead, as far as this body is concerned. I believe when I die, I'm going to be with him. No ifs and ends about it. That's what he promises me. That's good news, isn't it? Yeah, because it's appointed unto Bill Horton that one day he's going to die. I don't know when that day is, but I'm going to die, right? And then comes the judgment. Well, I believe God's already taken care of that for me. You know why? Because the blood of Jesus Christ justifies. That means it pronounces us not guilty. I'm not guilty before God because I've been cleansed and washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen? All right? So be not afraid. I bring you good news of what? Oh, joy to the world. The Lord has come. Oh, what's an adjective? Joy to the world. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth be filled with that message, that good tidings. Joy. Joy, joy, joy. I mean, that is the essence of the message, isn't it? Is to bring us joy, not fear, not harm, not worrying, not fretting. Joy, 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 joy. And man, you know, when the eunuch was immersed, came up out of the water, he went on his way rejoicing. Isn't that what the Bible says? Yeah, it does. No question about it. But there was nothing, absolutely nothing in Jesus' day up until that day for anybody to take joy in. You know that? Historians tell us it was the day of suppression and fear, wars, and on it was going, taxation, and Roman empires ruling, controlling people's lives, and people dying all over the place and being put to death because of the Roman government and so on and so forth. And there was, where in the world? Here comes a message of good tidings. What is the climax of that message? That message brings great joy to the world. Okay? That was its purpose. How many people do you know today really has joy? Do you? I like that little formula. I know you know it, right? J-O-Y. What is it? Jesus first, others second, and yourself last. You see, the real joy is taken out of place in perspective when you put you first. Write that down. You're supposed to deny yourself. You're supposed to prefer others above yourself. You're not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think. We ought to be more concerned. In fact, it says love God with all your whole being, right? And then it says love your neighbor as yourself. That perspective needs to be restored in every Christian's life today. Because there are people out there who need Jesus. And the only way I'm going to go out there and have no fear to confront them is I have perfect love for them. You understand what I just said? That is essential to evangelism today. We're not to be afraid of that world. We have a message that it can overcome the world. And we have to believe that. In 10 years, Christianity turned the Roman Empire completely upside down because they went out preaching the good news. We're not preaching good news today. We got drama, we got everything else but the good news. Paul says the good news in 1 Corinthians 15 that according to Scripture, Jesus died for the sins of the world. Christ was buried, and on the third day, he rose from the grave. The death, burial, resurrection. Simple. That's the gospel. That's the good news. The ultimate climax of that good news is he lives. He lives, ever making intercession for me as he stands or sits on the right hand of God. Jesus is the joy. Isaiah 35:10, and the ransom of the Lord will return, and the ransomed of the Lord will return, and come with joyful shouting to Zion with everlasting joy upon their heads. Hosanna! Hosanna to the King. Isn't that when he entered into Jerusalem? Okay. John 16:22. Therefore, you too have grief, but I will see you again. Your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you. That's Jesus speaking. Don't let the world, don't let anyone, don't let the devil take your joy from you. Rejoice in your salvation. Take joy in it. 1 Peter 1:8, and though you have not seen him, and though you do not see him now, but you believe in him, you believe in him, you greatly rejoice with a joy inexpressible and full of glory. Wow, that's powerful, isn't it? I haven't seen him. But somehow or other, the Holy Spirit, oh, that's right, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness. Amen. Joyful, joyful, oh, joy him. Bum, 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 bum. Joyful. The seventh and the eighth word. Notice what it says. That joy of good news, excuse me here, great joy will be for who? Yeah, not for the Jew. Not for Israel. For who? For all people. I mean, no one can read the Old Testament and not see that it was prophesied that God's salvation would be open to everyone. Jew, Greek, barbarian, male, female, there is none in Christ Jesus. We are all one in the body of Christ. And the gospel is meant for all people. It's meant for everyone to come to the cross and to rejoice in the salvation that has been offered there for all of us, because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Not the rich, not just the middle class, not just the whites. A lot of our congregations are mostly all white. That's not true everywhere, though, is it? No. But Jesus died and is for everyone, because the Bible says, whosoever will may come. The choice is in the matter, but it's still whosoever will may come. Isaiah 55:1. Oh, big exclamation marks, okay? Everyone who thirsts, come. Oh, remember Revelation closes, Revelation 22:17. It says the Spirit says, come. The bride says, come. That's the church. And all that thirsts, come. Come, let him who is thirsty come. Let him who indeed wishes to take the water of life, it come and take it without cost. It's free. Isn't that amazing? Salvation's free. It's a gift of God. You can't earn it. You can't boast about it. It's a divine act of God's grace. The 10th and 9th word. Good news, great joy shall be all. For today, in the city of David, there has been born. What does that say? How personal does that make it? Y'all are in, you're in this aspect because it's, he's either your savior, he's got to be your savior. He's got to be your Jesus. You got to make it personal. Salvation is on an individual basis, isn't it? He came, but he came unto you. He came unto me. It's up to me, because I know that indeed there is no aspect of what? I believe the passage of Scripture is clear in Peter that I'm to work out my own salvation. Now, you need to encourage me. You need to set an example for me. You need to love me and help me and encourage me. But when it gets right down to the nitty-gritty of it, my salvation is in my heart and my hands, and I need to be involved doing what I know I need to do in order to be saved. Because the aspect of this, it's today. Today is the day of salvation, not tomorrow. The aspect is 1 Peter 1:10. 1 Peter 1:10, for as to this salvation, the prophets and who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, made careful search as far as into the Scripture. And as they were making that search, they were looking and inquiring and seeking to know what person or time the Spirit of Christ that was in them was indicating as he predicted the sufferings of Christ and the glories that was to follow. You're not going to find salvation anywhere else. Bible says in Acts 4, there is no other name given from heaven by which man must be saved but at the name of Jesus Christ. It's the only name given from heaven whereby man can and will be saved, Jesus. You'll call his name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Isn't that a great name? That has a ring to it. Doesn't it move your heart when you say Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus. We have to come to that point in our lots of life where, I know, we have to wait in line. We wait in line at Myers, right? Yeah. Go to an airport, you wait in line. You know? I had to go drive, get my driver's license, and what do? You wait in line. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 says, it's the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable day of salvation. The acceptable time, that's what it said, is now. Don't wait if you're not saved, for goodness sakes. If you're not a Christian, you're not in Christ, you've never allowed the blood of Jesus to wash away your sin and receive the indwelling of the most beautiful gift you can ever receive, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus. What? Don't wait. Today. Right before the new year. Get your life right with God today. Don't say, well, I'll do it tomorrow. There are no promises of tomorrows. You know, the Bible says in James that no one should say, tomorrow I'm going to go into the city and do this and this and this. You should say, because our life is like a vapor, you have to say, if the Lord wills, I will do this and this and this. That means very important. That means we live in the now, don't we? And you need to make your life right with God now. All of us do. That means me. It means you, because Jesus was born for me. Okay? The 13th and the 14th verse, what was it? Today in the city of David has been born for you a what? A Savior. Who is it? There's nobody else. There's no one else. He's a Savior. The world needs a Savior. The world can't save itself. The world's under the power of the prince of the air, the one who is indeed the king of darkness. You know that, don't you? And when you become a Christian, are you listening to me? Colossians 2 and 12 says, God transfers you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. That's what it says. God knows that we're in a world of darkness, and for you and me to be free, we have to be taken by the power of Almighty God, transferred and taken out of that world and come into a world of light. And once you focus on him who is light, you'll be and continue to walk in the light of his word. Thy word is a lamp unto my path. It's a light unto my path. It's a light. This is the light right here. This light turns the light on God. It focuses the light on Jesus. And it also focuses the light on me. It really does. Because I make it personal. The book has to speak to me. You know, people bring several things to churches with them when they come. Today it was raining, so some of you brought umbrellas. So as I'm up here speaking and talking, some of you put your umbrella up, and it's all going down the neck of the person in front of you and the lap of the person behind you. Or some of you got a pitchfork, and you say, man, preacher, I wish so-and-so was here. They need to hear that. Ooh, well, give it to them. Or some of you are like a sponge, and you just, give me more. I'm thirsty. Blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They'll be filled. Yeah, and the aspect of that Savior, he is my Savior. I need him. You need him. We all needed a Savior, and God knew that. God saw us while we were all helpless. While we were all in a state of helplessness, God commended his love toward us. You read that, haven't you? God saw we needed help. But God knew that even after we become a part of this great family, we were still going to need a helper, a comforter. That's why Jesus said, I need to go. So he came. Who? The Holy Spirit. What will he do? He will walk and paraclete beside you. He'll be your helper, your strength, your encourager. He'll be the power through which God. You see, I believe we live in the Holy Spirit dispensation. If you want to hear more, come back next month. Because I believe most people don't get it. They don't really grasp a hold of the ministry and the work of the Holy Spirit today and what this book says about him. He is a part. We're baptized in the authority of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's a part of all of the program of God. Has been since the very beginning. It was the Spirit of God that moved upon the face of the water, and the separation occurred. The power of God is manifested. God did not give you a spirit of timidity. He gave you a spirit of power. We need to tap into that power, don't we? 14 words. It's up to you whether you're going to let them change your life or not. God's gift to you and me, for unto you is born this day a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. How did he come? Wrapped in swaddling clothes, a babe, lying in a manger. What was all the trimmings? Angels coming to the shepherds that very doubtful night. Glory of God shining through the heavens, singing, magnifying, declaring, for unto you is born a Savior. Do not be afraid. So what did they do? They went and found him. You got to go find him. He's not too far from any one of us. At least simply, if we will seek, we'll find. Knock, seek, it'll be open, right? God sought you on the cross. That's the message of the book. He came to this world, his son died on the cross for you and me. It's now your turn to bow at the cross and seek him. My turn, your turn. And I believe it's a continuous tense. I'm still seeking him. I still want a fullness of God. I still want to experience every aspect that I have the opportunity and the privilege to experience as one of his children. I know him, but I don't know all I need to know about him. Because if you think you got it all and you're where you are, take heed. You're going to fall. Maybe this would change your attitude. Maybe just a few little words. Maybe this could change your attitude. Thanks be unto God for his indescribable gift. You know what God wants, what his will is? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he wants a people that is thankful. This is the will of God, to be thankful. Or maybe these 11 words. These 11 words, the most important words in the world. They can change your heart, your relationship, everything you are. It's so important. They're powerful words. I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Would you say that with me? I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son God. Jesus is the Christ. He's the Son of God. By the way, that's a good confession. And Jesus said, if you confess me with your mouth, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven. Powerful words, aren't they? So again, I believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God. So fear not. You're a friend of God now. He's your friend. He's your father. You're one of his children. You've been adopted. You can cry and you can say, Abba, Daddy. That's personal. It really is. Good tidings. Good knowing. This is the best news I've ever heard and the best news I need to hear. My front line, my paper, every time I walk up in my book, this is my news right here. This is the news I live by. I don't care what they say on TV. That's not my world. That's Satan's world. This is my world. This is the world I live in. I live in the kingdom world where Christ is king in the Lord. Take great joy. I hope that you can leave here today and just say, thank you, God, for your indescribable gift and be filled with joy. It's for you. It's your choice. Choose, choose, choose. It's a choice. 116 times the word choice is used. Remember, 365 times it says, fear not. This day, this is the day that the Lord has given us. What are we to do? Rejoice and be glad. Rejoice and be glad. I'm glad I rejoice in the fact I can be here today with God's people. I can be here with people I know love me, and I know you. I love you. Melon, I love you. Thank you for your gift, Christmas gift. Thank you for the cards, all the gifts that you shared with Melon and I. And I can't say thank you enough. And I just pray that 2020 will be one of the most fruitful years that you and I share together. We're going to grow. We're going to see people baptized. We're going to see people's life change. We're going to get to the plow. We're going to take the plow. We're not going to look back. We got a future. We got a future, don't we? And if we commit ourselves to God, you know what he's going to do? He's going to bless it. He'll bless it, and he'll bless it richly. There's nothing impossible with God. Absolutely nothing. So thank you. Glad to have our visitors with us today, all the way from North Carolina. And, of course, Mom lives over by Shalott. Happy to have you here. Got my daughter, Sherry, all the way up from Atlanta. We're having a good time together. Really are. I think everybody in my family was home for Christmas this year. That was good. We were blessed yesterday because we went out and sang to Lloyd, my whole family, and out to Dina's, and wow, what a blessing. So what does Dina do? She shows up at my son's house with hands full of jam. Strawberry jam and whatever jam. So we jammed it. We had a jam because of Dina. Thank you, Marie, for that wonderful breakfast this morning. All of you are invited to stay and go over, and we'll have a little get-together, luncheon, and so on and so forth, and then we're going to fellowship. We're going to share, play some game together, whatever, and we hope that you will stay and be a part of that, okay? Would you stand, and I'm going to ask Bob Hayes. Bob, would you have a closing prayer for us? Let's stand together.